Sunday before Christmas. And as always, as a church, we want everyone to understand just what December 25th represents in the United States of America. And so every year, Sunday before Christmas, we preach and teach on the Christmas story. Okay, that's all the classrooms, all the Sunday school, every from the toddlers all the way up through every adult class will be teaching upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I think it's very important that we learn to do that, and especially as we get closer and closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for the rapture of the church, and the world is getting farther and farther away from Christianity, and you have a lot of antichrist taking place in the world today, that we make sure that we give people opportunity to know exactly why we celebrate December 25th and why that we acknowledge it as a day that when Christ actually was born as a man. And so Christmas story. Now, next Sunday morning, we'll get back into our regular series on Genesis, and I trust you've already enjoyed getting the information and going back and looking at the beginning of all things, and so we'll be doing that next Sunday morning again. But this morning in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." I believe the Christmas story is all about God with us. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We do thank you, Lord God, that you have written down and preserved for us everything that humanity needs to know about our God, about who we are, why we're here, and what a person must do in order to have forgiveness of sins and receive as a gift everlasting life. I just pray, God, that you would bless in our study this morning, that we would have a better understanding of who Jesus is. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I tell you that every child needs to hear the truth about who Jesus is. It's sad, but it seems like there's more parents that are concerned about teaching their children and using the idea of a Santa Claus than they are teaching their children about the only begotten virgin-born Son of God. Now, as a church, Santa Claus is a non-issue. Okay, I believe that's up to parents, as you will give an account how you raise your children. And, of course, I understand that people have fun with this and the different things, and I don't know that that's up to that individual parent. But as a church, it's a non-issue. We do not put up any pictures of Santa Claus. We do not have Christmas trees in the auditorium or throughout any Sunday school class, because we want to make sure that everyone who comes to church understands what December 25th in America is all about. Okay, it's a day that we have set aside as a Christian nation to acknowledge that there was a day when Jesus Christ came and was born of a virgin, Mary. And so it's a non-issue, but that child, every child and every adult and every teenager today will be taught exactly what the Bible says about who Jesus is. And so that's truly what Christmas is all about, is the birth of Jesus Christ. So as we understand that, then we don't want to know who Jesus is. We look here to what the Bible says, and this is the angel of God preparing Joseph to receive Mary as his wife, even though she has conceived. And this is not a conception because of a relationship that she had with another man. She is still a virgin. She will give birth to a child being a virgin. That is a one-time thing. Never before has that ever happened, and never will it happen again. Amen. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That word only begotten means one of a kind. There's not another like that. Never has been, never will be. Amen. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He was not the son of Joseph. He's the Son of God. Human by birth. That's why God chose Mary, a virtuous young lady who was a virgin, and divine through conception. Okay, human by birth, but divine through conception. Every time we pray, we ought to be reminded of his name. Amen. The name of Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of God. Look at Philippians in chapter 2 with me. God determined that he would be called Jesus. He instructed Joseph and Mary that when they would give birth, that Joseph would call him Jesus, because that name is above any other name on earth. God wanted to make sure of this. And so we find here, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says this about Christ and the name of Jesus. Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 9, "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth." That's a powerful name. That's a powerful individual. He's the only begotten Son of God. He was there in creation. John chapter 1 reveals that to us. And he has been given a name in this world that people need to acknowledge and bow down to, amen, and worship him and acknowledge him for who he is. And so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth, in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so as we understand that, we understand, first of all, the name of Jesus. That's why, as we have been instructed, that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. So every time we pray, then we are reminded of his name. And I think especially Christianity needs to be mindful of Jesus Christ all the time. And that's one of the reasons we have been instructed, again, to pray in his name. Now, we pray in the name of Jesus because that's the only access we have to God. Now, we pray to God the Father, but it's through God the Son and in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the Trinity that we have today to look to, and that's how it is used. So as we understand who Jesus is, it's a name that God has given to him and that we need to acknowledge and respect, because he came to be the Savior of all mankind. As the angel spoke to Joseph in verse 21, he said, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to be the Savior of all humanity. And as he came, he would come as God's only begotten Son, but he would always be God. The Bible reveals that Jesus is as much God as God the Father. Jesus is as much God as God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus. What do you mean by that? Well, there's three in one. All three are God, and all three are equal. The Bible reveals that to us. Over in the book of 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so we know that to be Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's the Trinity, the three in one. That's what we look to our God, and we acknowledge God the Father, and we acknowledge God the Son, and we acknowledge God the Holy Spirit as a church, as we have been given baptism. One of the things, ordinances, God has given his church to carry out, two ordinances, baptism and Lord's Supper. And as we baptize, every time we baptize in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And so that not only should we be mindful of Jesus every time we pray, but we also need to be mindful of the Trinity of God. And that's something that we need to teach our children. That's something that we need to be aware of. That's something that, especially as a church, you know, that we need to be able to give this testimony of a triune God. And praise the Lord for that. His coming, Jesus' coming, reveals much about who God is, because we were created in his image, after the image of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, after his likeness. And so there's something about that that helps us to understand who we are and how we were created. And if we understand why we were created, then it gives us more of a purpose for life. And when you start fulfilling, you know, the purpose for which you were created, you'll find that there is a great amount of peace associated with knowing that I am fulfilling the purpose that I was created for. Isn't that something? And we was created for his pleasure. We're created to bring honor and glory to God. And when you live a life that is bringing honor and glory to God, can I tell you, it will do something for you that nothing else can do for you. And praise the Lord for that. So we know this, Jesus coming, and he reveals these things to us, his nature and his power is revealed in the book of John in chapter 1, because we find here, as the Bible tells us a little bit more about who he is as being God the Son. Not only was he there in the creation of man, in creating humanity in their likeness and after his image, we find here in John chapter 1, again it says, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, if you look down to verse 14, it says again, and the Word, which was with God in the beginning, which is revealed to be the Lord Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, one of a kind, full of grace and truth. And so, as we stop here for just a little bit, and I believe that every parent, as you acknowledge Christmas, before you ever open a present, before you ever take a bite to eat and have the fellowship, and praise the Lord for that. I think Christmas is a great time to spend with family, to be able to rejoice with one another in whatever your Christmas traditions are. Everyone's a little bit different with that. And that's up to you. As long as you understand the purpose, the reason that we have set this day aside. Okay, you have to understand that. That's most important. And again, the idea of Santa Claus or whatever, you put stockings up, you know, and put it up on the fireplace and put cookies out. Everyone has a little bit different take on that. And as long as you don't take away from, you know, the reality of the birth of Christ. And when you sit your children down, help them to understand, you know, that we have this day because it is a day that acknowledges that there was a day when God became man. And we want to acknowledge that. And we want to worship him. And we want to understand that he is the one that created us. And as God created us, he had a purpose in creation. And humanity is the crown of creation. As we studied in the book of Genesis, the first lesson, you know, what so many have brought it down to is that man is no more than an educated, evolved animal, which is farthest from the truth. Man is a crown of creation. Everything else was created for him. God created all things, you know, for humanity, because humanity is a crown. That was what it was all about. And we are after the image, created in the image of God and after his likeness, not an animal. Amen. Don't let anybody give you that kind of nonsense. Can't believe in that evolution. You know, it takes more faith. We studied this as we compared the two, because it takes more faith to believe in evolution. There's more holes in evolution than even coming close to Christianity. It's faith in believing what God has done and recorded for us to know. And so praise the Lord for understanding who Jesus is. And then as we understand who he is, we do need to understand what he did. What was the purpose of his coming? Well, he came to identify with mankind. One of the first things he wanted to do is identify with humanity. He became a man to feel everything that humanity would feel. To walk in the very footsteps of that which he created in his likeness and after his image. He came to identify with mankind. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, we have the Bible that helps us to understand all these things. Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Hold on to what you believe concerning him. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." He can identify with us no matter what you go through, no matter what you're facing. He came so that he could identify with us as we identify with him. As we look to him and pray through him, we can know that he understands. From birth, for 33 years, he experienced all things in the human body. He came to identify with mankind. He came to fulfill prophecy. That's important too, because that helps us to have greater faith, to know that it was a fulfillment of prophecy for a virgin to give birth to the very Son of God. That was something that God had prepared humanity for in the prophecies of the Old Testament. And Christ was in the Old Testament. The church and Christianity was in the Old Testament, just not revealed. It was there in principle. It was there to understand the principles that God would establish for humanity. And in the fullness of time, then he sent his son to establish that which was intended from the very beginning, and that's Christianity in this church age, which was always in God's plan. And so we find that he came to fulfill the prophecies. Matter of fact, over the book of Galatians in chapter 4, helps us to see this. In verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of the time was come. Now, I love the idea because we study this in Genesis as well. God created and designed time for humanity. Before humanity, there was no time. After humanity on earth, there will be no time. There is no time in eternity. Amen. I love that. You know, today it seems like time is everything. You know, you always have a set time, you know, that you have to do this, that, and the other. A set time or a time that you go to bed. There's a time that you wake up. There's a time and this and that. And there's time is everything in humanity. We even look at our lives and we wonder, how much time do we have? How much time have I wasted? What am I doing with the time that I do? You know, time is a gift. That's a precious commodity. We don't know how much time we have. So we make sure that we take advantage of the time we do have and accomplish what God has for us in the time that He's given to us. But before humanity, no time. After humanity, no time. You know, time was given and designed by God for humanity and the days in what we're living to accomplish. And so He came to fulfill prophecy. God designed it. What would take place with His chosen people? They were to represent God to the rest of the world. There was a reason that God did all that He did there. And then the fullness of time, when it was ready, He sent His Son. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Okay, as we already studied that, identify with humanity. He was fully 100% man, but He was always 100% God in the womb throughout His life. And He came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit represents Christ in us. And He leads us to have a desire to have a walk with God the Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. I'm an heir of God through Christ. Wow. So Jesus came to fulfill prophecy concerning God's plan in the midst of time. Now, God has a plan for when He's going to return. He hasn't given us that. When He's going to rapture the church. We just know that that's the next appointed time. In prophecy, is the rapture of the church. Individually, if we don't make it to the rapture, the next prophecy in our lives is our death. It's appointed a man wants to die. God knows when that's going to be. And as God has a plan and a design for that, in the midst of the overall design of the rapture of the church. And I've always said that I believe that I'm going to be around in the rapture. I think it's going to happen in my lifetime. That almost didn't happen. And God saved me and allowed me. I think that now I'm better equipped and better ready for to be around till the rapture. Amen. I think it's close. All the signs are all around us of the end times and the signs of what it's going to be like on earth as Christ would rapture up His church. But it's the next in prophecy. And if I'm around, praise the Lord. If God takes me before then, praise the Lord, because that's my rapture. Amen. And loved ones that are taken ahead, it's their rapture. And there's something exciting about a rapture. Something exciting about seeing Jesus face to face. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. And looking forward to all of us coming together. Amen. my mom, my dad, my sisters, my brother, all those that have passed on before us, we'll all meet together in the air one day. And that could be as soon as today, tonight. We never know. But so he doesn't give us that. He doesn't tell us when. He just tells us it is designed. It is prophecy. It's what God has given to us. So what Jesus did, he came to fulfill prophecy. And so helps us to understand if the prophecy of the coming of Jesus, a virgin-born Son of God, was fulfilled, why would we not put faith and confidence in all of his prophecies? And we should. We should. Because it's proof positive that prophecies are going to be fulfilled. He also came to offer himself as a sacrifice. When he came, he knew that he came to be a sacrificial lamb. Now, he came to establish Christianity. He came to reveal God's plan of salvation, simple plan of salvation to all humanity. He came to identify with man. He did a lot of different things, but he came knowing that he would offer himself as a sacrifice. Yeah, there's never a time when he didn't realize that he would actually be crucified on the cross of Calvary in time. Hebrews in chapter 10. And again, we have the Bible that helps us to understand all these things. And that's why we know this to be true. And it's all connected to the Christmas story. In Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Amen. Yeah. Offered himself as a sacrificial lamb. Over in the book of Romans also, in Romans in chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it helps us to be aware of that. He came knowing that he came for this purpose. In Romans in chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." He sacrificed himself so that we could be saved. Saved from the judgment of sin, the wrath of God and the judgment of sin. That's eternal damnation. Separation from God. So he came knowing that he was going to live a life to identify with humanity, knowing that he would give us an example of Christianity to look to, always knowing that he would go to the cross of Calvary and pay a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. But he also knew something else. Even though he would have to go through the agony of the cross of Calvary, he did it with joy, the Bible says, because he knew that in 3 days he would resurrect. Before he ever went to the cross, he was prophesying and he was preparing his disciples for his resurrection. Amen. Yeah. Proving once again his deity, proving once again his knowledge of time and the purpose of time. In Luke in chapter 24, Luke in chapter 24. Everybody following me this morning? Amen. Amen. It's just good just to spend a little time just reminding ourselves of why we have December 25th, why we have a day that we have set aside to acknowledge the virgin birth of Christ. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember, I love that, how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they, at that point, remembered his words. We need to remember his words. He gave us a lot of promises. He's given us a lot of truth. His life has given us a lot of information that if we remember will help us go through those tough times of life. Help us get through some things that would be impossible to get through without him, without his knowledge, without his words. Just praise God that we have his words. Just as he taught them. These are some things he did. So we know that then he resurrected. What's he doing today? What happened then in the life of Christ? All beginning with the understanding of his birth. We find that he says that he would ascend up to heaven to sit on the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for those who have received him as their Savior. Now that's what he's been doing throughout my life. I need to understand these other things that took place, but in my life, you know, 63 going on 64 years, he has been my intercessor. Wow, that's a pretty neat thing. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he becomes your intercessor. And will be your intercessor the rest of your life on earth. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews and chapters, that's what he's doing right now. In Hebrews in chapter 7 and verse 25, the Bible says this. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Bible says he's living. He wants you to know he's alive, and he is wanting to make intercession for you. And as you pray to the God the Father, he's there to make intercession. Every time you pray, he is there to make intercession. During this church age, he is ever living to make intercession for everyone who has called upon him to be their Savior. Yeah. That's just a great thing to be aware of. In John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, in verse 2, let me read this to you. He's there, and at the same time he's ever living to make intercession, he's doing something else for us. He's preparing a home. That's what he says. He says in chapter 14, as he speaks to the disciples, they're going to mourn his ascension into heaven, as he told them this is what was going to happen. He said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now he's talking to those that would put their faith and trust in him. I'm preparing a place for you. Now there's something about that, just knowing that somebody's got me in mind ever living to make intercession, ever living just to listen to me and take my request before the throne of grace, take my request before God the Father, ever living, he's doing that. That was his purpose right now. For me, he's ever living. And at the same time as he making intercession, he knows when I'm coming and he's preparing a place for me. Yeah. And if you're mindful of that on a regular basis, can I tell you, that'll just make a difference. That'll just bring a smile to your face. God is aware of me. As a born-again believer, God is aware of me personally, individually. And his purpose right now is ever living for me to make intercession and preparing a place, knowing when I'm going to come. Must have been another addition he put on for me. Amen. Just he thought, no, it's not ready. I got another addition. Go back to work. Amen. Yeah. As long as you're here, you have work still to do. If you have work still to do, he's still designing that addition to your place. Yeah. Not quite completely yet. When he's finished, my life would be complete, and he'll have a place for me. Yeah, that's just what the Bible teaches. The thing we have to look forward to, as he's ever living to make intercession now, as he's preparing a place for us, what he will do is the next overall prophecy will be when he raptures his church. All of us, every born-again believer on planet Earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look there with me. We're running out of time, just about done here. So 1 Thessalonians. All this connected to December 25th. And why we have it, why we acknowledge it. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the body, the glorified body that is now being developed and presented, will rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So all those, the spirit has gone on to be with the Lord, okay? And now they're coming back with him. The bodies, the glorified bodies that we that are alive and remain as we rapture up, our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This physical is going to become spiritual. It's going to become glorified. And those that are with him are going to come. We'll all receive our glorified bodies at this very same time. And we'll all meet in the air to rejoice. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a comfort to know that. This is what we have to look forward to. After this, we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years during the millennial reign. And then he'll usher us into a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more time. Time will pass away. And we'll have a new heaven, which is an atmosphere for the glorified body. And an earth will be a new place. We don't know all it's going to be like. We just know that it's going to be so much better than what it's ever been in this earth, in this atmosphere that we're living in here. It'll be for an eternity where there'll be no more death, no more sorrows. What a great thing to look forward to. All of this as we remember what December 25th represents in America. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, thank you that you have worked in our lives as Christians and as a Christian nation even to establish a day that we can set aside to acknowledge the birth of a Savior. I pray, God, this Christmas that we would do just that with our families and thank you and glorify you for just simply being who you are. Prepare us now for the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.